Good evening. At this time, we begin the second of Lima.
Good evening, this is KC2SWA, and no questions.
Very fine, Bob. So we got a Bob with a no, and we know it's the chicken. Give me your call letters and name. Looks like everybody's out to celebrating tonight, Bob. Maybe it's just you and me. And so, that 2-meter antenna you were working on, as I remember, you were looking for materials. By now, you probably found the right materials, tuned it up, put it up in the air, and it's already making a long-distance DX contact. Is that sort of true, Bob? Go ahead.
No, I'm afraid it isn't, Dick. I've got work to do on it next spring. I was concentrating on the 6-meter beam cut up. But I'll get it working. I'm not sure where I'm going to put it yet.
Bob, I wonder if anyone has reported to you your audio is a bit low. Are you speaking into the front of the mic and as close as normal, or is this a new piece of equipment? Because your audio is quite a bit lower than it normally is.
Yeah, this is a different radio. This is the A2S5200, and I've had some comments. I'm talking close to the microphone, so it could get better. The other radio has a lot hotter mic on it. But that's now in my new car.
Okay. I can tell that the audio is kind of low. Because when you talk real close and when you talk real loud, you almost come up to full amplitude, but it doesn't go into clipping, I can tell. So it's either got a low-gain mic, like you said, or the gain control in front of the clipper is low. So you may want to close. You may want to close talk that particular one. 6 meters this time of year, this time of the sunspot cycle, I would guess sporadic E openings are a little bit on the rare side, or maybe you ought to tell me, does sporadic E follow the sunspot cycle, or is it thoroughly independent? I haven't been on 6 meters and, over 30 years, Bob, so I don't really know. Back to you.
Well, by no means am I an expert on 6-meter propagation. I've had some tremendous altitudes during the plot rate into the summer. It's been a vast way better to wide open back again. Quite a few altitudes. They've been about 22 hours of an opening. And right now, if I could find somebody who's yours, it's a rarity.
Very fine. You forgot to talk close and talk loud. You went back to your normal operation on that one. But I heard it all because I'm wearing your phone. So, if I understand you correctly, the spring of 2006, plenty of openings, even though we're near the bottom of the sunspot cycle. That strongly suggests that sporadic E and sunspot don't follow each other. That's what I think I could read into that. Is that a possible interpretation, Bob?
Yeah, I think so, Dick. The vagaries of 6 meters, which is why they call it the max band, when it's there, you can work with just about anything that glows. I tell you, I was really surprised. I was in here one afternoon, not much of anything else going on, and there was a gentleman up in off the coast of Newfoundland, and it was on St. Pierre Mignon, working with 100 watts in a vertical antenna. I had him 5'9" here in the shack, and that was, I don't even think I had the beam up yet. He was still sitting in the backyard.
I've seen that effect on 6 meters, and I'm guessing most of the time it's a sporadic E cloud, although I guess it could also occasionally be a very extended ground wave, or I don't think the F layer increases the signal strength by, close to 100 dB, whereas without that cloud, unless you've got moonbound capability on both ends and blasting away, I don't think you'd make the path. Makes it a fun band. Rocky Valley Indians, television interference was a very serious problem in the late 60s, and I had a moderate amount of problem with it in my previous location. Therefore, I would only go on at certain hours. I found out my neighbors who were getting the strong TBI, what were their favorite programs, and those hours of those days I wouldn't go on. When I moved to a new location, I was afraid to gamble, so I decided to, just for the time being, to give up 6 meters. Now that just about everybody is on cable TV, one human being in my town with an operating antenna, television aerial on the roof. That person is me. Everyone else doesn't have one. So it looks to me like essentially every single resident is on cable. And if I can trust that the connectors on the cable are reasonably well installed so that the system is radiation-wise tight, not leaking, I probably can get back on 6 meters. I own a Kenwood 6 meter all mode. I own a 6 meter Yagi. Just gonna have to put the Yagi on the tower. Have you heard anyone on 6 meters lately still complaining about TBI, or is that a thing of the past? KQMWA, KQLIW in the TechNet.
Well, Dick, the only TBI complaints I get are from my own family. Somehow or other, I'm getting it from you. My son's TV set, but that could be just a bad connection somewhere in the cable down.
Hey, you forgot too close to talk again, Bob. You're familiar with your cable TV system in your house. Now, there's a drop line coming from the utility pole to your house, and then, in theory, there's real shielded power splitters with well-installed connectors going to all the TVs in the house. That's the right way to do it. Occasionally, people will, in a pinch, say, gee, I want to add a second or a third TV set, and they'll run twin lead or just sort of cobble things together by twisting wires, and therefore have an unshielded system. And particularly when it comes to the connector on the back of the set, because somebody moves the set periodically to clean behind it, they're always shifting things and therefore yanking on the cable, and the braid may not be making good contact to give you good grounding, but because the cable TV system gives you such a strong signal, as far as the reception is concerned, you wouldn't know the difference, and the signal may fall off by 10 dB. Your automatic gain control of the TV set makes up the difference, and you see no change. However, an unshielded cable becomes an antenna, which picks up things that you're transmitting in the house. So if it's only the people in your house getting the problem, that's a very good sign, particularly if you have reason to believe your neighbors are not getting it. Back to you, Bob, and remember to talk a little closer. H-L-I-W, the tech man.
W2DIP.
Ah, we found somebody else, Dick. I'm going to give him a full turn after I make my quick comment here. I'm using satellite dish, and there's a pretty long run going to my son's TV. And it's probably not the best thing in the world. It's 13-inch color set. Oops. I think they crumpled a little bit on this, all of them. Let's see if we can pick up the other gentleman.
Yeah, this is D.I.B. Start off with your name, sir. My name is Dick.
Okay, yeah, how you doing, Dick? My name is Vinny. Call is with you, Delta India Papa. I'm an old break. Actually, I was just getting ready to set the rig off, and I heard you mention 6 meters. I do use 6 meters. No one's complaining about interference. I do 100 watts. The only thing I would say is the antenna in my attic.
Vinny. Thank you for that information. So you're giving me further evidence that 6 meters with almost everybody in the world on cable TV sounds like it's working very nicely these days. When I last worked on 6 meters in the late 60s, boy, if you were running a real amount of steam on 6 meters, you could create a significant amount of television interference for probably at least a half-mile radius around your house. Sounds like you're not running into that anymore. And I guess I got something to look forward to when I go back to that band. Now, you said that we did have a lot of sunspots this year, and you believe the sunspots and the band openings are correlated. That would suggest that the sunspots are related to sporadic E-clouds. When you've got an opinion on that, Stephanie, a nice hearing from you. Looks like we ought to cover one band each weekend, maybe 6 meters one weekend and 20 meters another weekend and so on. Maybe we'll bring some more people out with some more opinions. W2 Delta India Papa, HURIW in the tech band.
Yeah, I'll make this brief because I have to where I'm going out for tonight. I think there's a correlation there with some unusual sunspot activity, and then the band opened up on 6 meters. I was doing like an S6 in Missouri, S6 in Mississippi. Some of those gentlemen sounded like they were local. They were so loud. I had one from Alabama moving in. Lasted for a good time, maybe half hour, 45 minutes before they faded away. And there was a correlation between the sunspots and the propagation of the signal. Problem you have with 6 meters is everyone's listening and no one's talking. A lot of times I yell CQ, don't get back. Then I find out the next day that, oh yeah, I heard you there, I heard you talking, blah, blah, blah. So it's just one of those situations where everyone's listening. There were a lot of people. I got to run, my wife is screaming at me. So this is W2DIT. I'll catch you just by the time. Happy New Year's and Seminary Drift.
Very fine, Vinny. Thank you for checking in. Have a nice holiday tonight and tomorrow. Okay, anyone else want to check into the TechNet? So far it's only Bob and Vinny and me. We're kind of lonely. So give me your call letters and name at this time. KQLIW.
Always a pleasure to listen to you guys on the TechNet.
Fred, K1FC, we got you. Marvin, what's your call?
W2 Tango Tango Tango, Gordon.
Oh, Gordon. I thought I heard you say Gordon Marvin. Was there also a Marvin in there?
That's affirmative, gentlemen. This is Marvin, KT2, Golf, Zulu, Charlie, Mobile. Always a pleasure to listen to you at your TechNet.
Okay, so what I thought was a double was really a triple. Well done. Okay. First guy I heard who his voice was above all of them was Fred, K1FC. And looks like we're not lonely anymore, Fred. Say a couple words to us, Fred.
Yeah, triple. They tinkered to ever some champ or something. So when you're discussing 6 meters, I was on back in the early 60s, late 50s. And there was a controlled carrier. It was a modified DX-35 V-chip. But there was a Drake filter that was the most marvelous of filters I've ever encountered in my life. They cost $3. But anytime somebody had a problem, that always would fix it. Nowadays, there's a problem with the cable, with 2 meters coming out on one of the cable channels, and one cam here had a thickest of a time with a neighbor, because they used the cheap, they added steps to their house with the cheap stuff, the sun shield that you can get from Radio Shack. Radio Shack also sells some good stuff, but it costs more money, believe it or not, and they didn't want to be bothered using it. Let's see, I think it goes to, or back to you, Dick, so you can pass it around. I think it would go to Gordon. Go ahead.
Yeah, very fine. I remember that Drake filter, and it worked like a charm. However, if the person had a slightly snowy picture on channel 2 to begin with, when you added the filter, didn't it add a couple more dB of attenuation, and channel 2 became a tiny bit more snowy? I wonder if you experienced that, Fred. Go ahead.
Not in my location. We have a pretty direct shot to the city, so that was never an issue, but I could see somebody in a fringe area that would be a conceivable problem.
To your knowledge, Fred, is that Drake filter still available? And I think that was a 300 ohm input-output filter. Be sure it would be nice if Drake still built it, and if they made it with SMA connectors. What do you think?
It would be nice. I don't believe they exist. I wish I still had one. If you're right about the fitted ohms, I opened one up once to see what was inside. And there were quite a few little capacitors and coils and whatnot. It was a fairly elaborate thing. At this point, it was sort of a faded mental picture of the inside.
And as I remember, it was a thoroughly balanced H-mode, H-type filter or pi-type filter. Very nicely done. Drake made some extremely good equipment in its day. And then after a while, I guess they stopped making ham radio equipment. For a while, they were making satellite television equipment. I think they're no longer in existence as a ham radio company. The Drake 2B, I've owned one of those, a very nice receiver. The Drake R4C, in its day, was an extremely good receiver, very high dynamic range. And that had the world's best noise blanker. My goodness. That thing could take out a radar signal when you were transmitting, when you were using the transverter to bring a 432 signal down to 7 megacycles, and you were doing a tunable IF with the Drake 4C, R4C, at 7 megs, the 40 meter band, that radar could be more than 100 decibels above my threshold, obviously by putting a 100 dB of step attenuator between the antenna and the 432 converter. And that noise blanker would completely take it out. You wouldn't even know the radar was there, and the interference to the voice was minimal. That was an extremely well-built noise blanker, which was a circuit that determined the fact that a very steep rise time had occurred, and therefore it would open up a switch in the IF strip before the signal had a chance to propagate into the IF switch, IF system, IF filter. Very, very well done. Okay, let's see what Gordon's got to say. So Gordon, I wonder if you've been on 6 meters, or if you want to have your name added to the list of questioners tonight. Whiskey 2, Triple Tango, KQLIW in the TechNet. My name is Dick.
Yeah, Dick, did you hear me?
I sure did, Gordon.
I'm sorry, the repeater just disappeared for a moment. It was really weird. I'm in the Meadowlands, and the repeater just literally disappeared for a second. Anyway, good evening to you, and Happy New Year to you and everybody else who might be listening. And, let's see, do I have any questions, comments, or confusions? I have one, actually. I have a Directive Systems Yagi that has a feed point that looks very similar to a certain K2RIW Yagi, which I also have a few of. And I've been using this thing forever, and it's one of their longer bottles, and took it out of service because I was remodeling the house and put it back on the tower the other day after checking up and everything, and lo and behold, its resonant frequency is 427 megahertz. I don't understand how this could be. I'm going to figure out, what got bent or twisted or whatever, but, the little T-match things are nice and parallel all the way out even beyond where they're shorted to the driven element. Everything's in order, but the damn thing is resonant at 427 megahertz, not 432. I'll be darned if I know why. So any thoughts on that subject would be appreciated as to how I can adjust it without breaking out a torch and moving the little pin, you know, the shorting bars on each side in. Or maybe that's the right answer. Maybe it's just cold fire torch at this point. Who knows? KKOW2TGT.
Very fine, Gordon. You sound like you're mobile. I've got to guess that you and your family are traveling to your place of entertainment tonight, getting ready for the celebration. That's a guess. I've written some articles recently about how to get an ideal impedance match to the driven element of a Yagi. And you're absolutely right. When you take those clips of a folded dipole, as you move them outward, common sense would lead you to believe you're going to a higher impedance. And it doesn't work that way. The main thing that happens is you add more capacitance to the ends of the elements by moving those clips out, and therefore the resonant frequency goes down. Once you've got the clips in the right position, it's a mystery as to why you're at 427 instead of 432. If I had to retune the Yagi or retune the driven element to make that happen, even a cold solder joint, that's a tough one. I'm wondering how you determined that it's resonant at 427. If you did it with some kind of a frequency sweeping device, there's a slim chance that that's fibbing to you a little bit. Second of all, what do you believe is the standing wave ratio at 432? So back to you, Gordon, KQLIW. There's no beep on the machine right now.
Say, Yaesu 897, well, I did not use my bird. Maybe I should have, but I didn't have a lot of time to mess around with it yesterday. I noted that, you know, the power was cut back, and it was noting some SWR at 432. It was enough to, you know, fold back the power from its base. I'm going to estimate about 12 watts or so. So it had done, and other things, those circuits are pretty aggressive about those things. So, but I did notice when I switched the meter, such as it is, in that rig to a SWR mode, it reflected, had no reflected power at 427, and it had, you know, not a whole lot, but some, maybe a third of a kilometer scale, so I don't know what that would be, maybe 2 to 1, 3 to 1, probably 3 to 1, and 432. So, I don't know. You have thoughts there?
That's a tough one, Gordon. And I presume that the directive systems antenna, the Yagi N 432, used to work well. Dave O'Lean, K1WHS, the president of that company, good buddy of mine, makes an awful nice product. So that's quite a mystery. Let's see now. The folded dipole, or actually the T-match, is fed by a U-shaped piece of coaxial cable. Any chance you've got a defective solder joint there? In the version that I made, the hairpin that does the 4-to-1 impedance rectification, the 4-to-1 impedance matching, and acting as a balance. In my case, I was making those out of 50 ohm, 141, 0.141 diameter semi-rigid cable, Teflon semiconductor cable, and it's very hard to get any water or moisture in that cable. I guess a good visual inspection is in order. Even testing with an ohm meter, I believe the driven element on most of those designs is floating, and therefore with an ohm meter in the shack between semiconductor and shield, you can find out if anything funny is going on. Back to you, Gordon. As you can tell, I don't have any good guesses here, but I would certainly start off with a very thorough visual inspection. W2TTTKQLIW.
Okay, Dick, very fine. Well, here's a couple of thoughts in my mind. I would ask you, because it is absolutely identical to the design you used. I'm copying you very well on the input, Gordon. The idea of checking, chopping off pieces from the driven element, I wouldn't recommend that until something else is going on here. Where you've got both a Viswarm meter of any kind, the Yaesu telling you that there is significant standing wave ratio, one-third scale at 432, and beautiful at 427, and the fact that your rig protection circuit is cutting back on 432, you've got a double confirmation that you're really not giving a good Viswarm at 432. I think you almost have to accept that. And boy, that's a tough one. I've never seen anything quite like it. By way of, if the antenna is in your hand, and you can give it a very good visual inspection, touch your own meter to various places to make sure things are making contact the way they should, it's about the best thing that I would recommend. Yes, you could cut back the driven element. It's not a destructive thing to do. And if at worst, cutting it back gives you the right visual, and you use it for a while, and whatever the condition is, it goes back to normal. Adding length again is pretty easy, because when you tune the driven element of a Yagi, it's electrical length which counts a lot more than the physical length. So even if you don't want to rebuild the driven element, you can always bring it back to the right electrical length again by adding pieces of copper tape or sliding pieces of tubing near the ends of the element. The current at the ends of the element is so low that anything you add out there, the exact number of ohms of contact doesn't matter. So retuning it is one way, but I wouldn't do that after doing a lot of good visual inspection and ohm meter check. I'd like to hear when you find out what it is, Gordon. You've got quite a mystery there. I'd like you to come back to the TechNet and tell us what you find. Even if you run into Dave, K1WHS, the slim chance he's heard of something like this with his design, but it's an unusual one. I'd like to hear from you about it, Gordon. W2TTT, K2LIW in the TechNet.
Aye, aye, copy time. I should do that. I will be happy to do that, actually. And reporting back to you will not be hard. I know where to find you on Sunday night most of the time, aye, aye. And, it's a bit of a stumper. SWR bridge, you know,